Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Monday morning, Victory Monday. Welcome aboard, MP on the mic. 910 The Fan, 1051 FM. Going to Jaden Daniels' watch, effective immediately. Dan Quinn speaks at 3:30 if we have anything to pass along between now and then. Of course, we will pass that along to you on your number one place in Richmond for Commanders Talk. Good to have Hazel back on the ones and the twos here. Good to have you guys back after a fun weekend. This is everything a Victory Monday should be. The defense was great. The offense was great. The final score was great. This is the third time this year we're talking about the Commanders having won a game by more than three touchdowns. Feels insane to even say that out loud. 40-7 against the Carolina Panthers. Of course, none of that matters if the quarterback's not healthy. Jaden Daniels goes down early in the game, comes back. He's hanging out on the sideline. We like that. Here's Dan Quinn after the game on what's up with Jaden Daniels and the most important ribs in Washington.
I cannot give an update on Jaden, but I will just as soon as we find out. We'll do some further tests tomorrow, John, and then when we get together in the afternoon, we'll give you an update. But I don't have anything for everybody else asking the same thing, same answer. So just wanted to make sure I was super clear on that.
When did you realize he was hurt?
After the first drive. And so maybe at the end of the first drive, you know, right when we're down by the goal line, John. But it was into that space. Throw, testing, tent, then to go inside. So that's when I knew. And I'll give you some updates just as soon as I find out tomorrow, but I do not have any tonight.
Do you know if it was on that 46-yard run?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't, but I do know it happened during that drive at some point, Nikki.
No, and I can clarify that one. I do know it happened on that 46-yard run. I mean, we all see it. He pops up. He's grabbing the ribs. He's playing through it, which is obviously what all NFL players try to do, play through it. It's a stinger. It'll go away. It doesn't go away. The thing about the headset is it's not a two-way communication device. I think a lot of people forget that sometimes. Cliff Kingsbury talks, and Jaden Daniels hears it. Jaden Daniels talks. If he wants to, he can talk. Cliff Kingsbury ain't hearing it. There's no microphone on that end. And I think sometimes people forget that, right? Why they keep calling runs for him, why they keep doing the things they were doing. Cliff didn't know. Now, we all see it on the TV. He's grabbing his ribs, but he's trying to play through it. From Cliff's perspective, he's not watching his quarterback grabbing his ribs. He's watching the scheme, the players, the play chart, everything else going on. You know, I'm sure he's got somebody in his ear at some point saying, hey, your quarterback doesn't look right. Obviously, DQ notices it as well. But there's no talkback function. It's a one-way walkie-talkie. And so Jaden can't say, yo, quit running the ball. Jaden can't say, hey, I'm dying out here. Let's call some Brian Robinson. Let's do some more B-Rob. He's got to check himself out of the game, and obviously he doesn't want to do that. So Jaden Daniels, officially a rib injury, officially will be reevaluated today. Officially, we will hear from Dan Quinn at 3:30. I don't want to make promises on behalf of Grant and Danny, but I would be stunned if you do not hear that live on Grant and Danny when that happens, because they are two conscientious men that really love football and the Commanders and Jaden Daniels. So I think the town will pause for a moment and get the update from Dan Quinn at 3:30. Of course, if there's anything to pass along between now and then, we will do that. Make sure you know that. You're in the absence of anything, you're trying to read into any little scrap you can get, right? His mom tweets, he's all right in the second quarter. That's all we've got. I'll say this, not to discount the reliability of Jaden's mom as a source. She's obviously closer to the situation than I am. No kid has ever sent his mom a text saying anything other than, I'm all right. It's not, You don't panic your mom.
That's no.
Just basic ground rules.
And she can watch it on TV.
She saw it on TV. She's, how's my baby? Like,
I'm all right.
I'm fine.
I'm totally fine.
You'll be all right.
All good. All good.
You were decapitated. I'm fine. Gonna be fine.
We'll be okay.
Don't worry about me, Mom. Don't
shaking it off.
Yeah, nothing to worry about here. don't sweat it, Mom. We're good. You know, dads, you can tell. Like, how is it? It freaking hurts. You could say that to a dad. That's mm-hmm. that's a more reliable source in that moment than Mom. Mom, you can't say anything. It'll be all right. I'm gonna be all right.
WebMD.
I know you're worried about me, but I'm gonna be all right. When Jane's in there googling stuff, Dr. Google,
ribs,
my rib. Remember when WebMD had like the little operation man, and you like clicked on the part of your body that was hurting, and that passed for like legitimate medical advice in America for like 6 years. It may explain something about why we've ended up where we're at as a society. We'll dive into everything else about the game because I want to give props to the defense. This was not a given that they were going to shut out the Carolina Panthers for nearly three quarters. This was not a given that they were going to play as well as they did, create some takeaways. We'll dive into that. But here's the play. It's the read option. We'll get into that in a second because that's part of the story, obviously. But here's the play where it all happens.
Here comes Jaden Daniels and company at their own 10, first and 10. They're going to go inside, hand off. No, Daniels keeps, has a block on the edge. 25-30, cuts back. He's at the 35-40, picking up some speed. They're trying to pull him down from behind. They finally get him. It's a zone read that works all the way into Carolina territory, down to the 42.
Yeah, I'm not going to come on the radio this morning and tell you the kid's got to stop running. Look, we've sounded the alarm. He's running too much. He's taking too many hits at various times. I don't think that was the moment. He was wide open, and he was running for daylight. Now, it was an interesting end to the play. He kind of tries to shut it down himself, but it's not a slide. It's like a turtling situation. He's done that a couple times. There's a right way and a wrong way to end a play in the NFL. The right way is just with a nice, smooth baseball-style slide. I don't think he's mastered that yet. He's not Russell Wilson. He didn't play for the Colorado Rockies. He's not quite adept at the full slide, which could have saved him a little hassle here. But he was trying to end the play gracefully. Ends up with a dude on top of him. We've said it all along. He's tiny. He's fragile. All those things. Those are true. He's also tough. He played in the SEC for a number of years and held his own and certainly no issues to speak of in the SEC. We'll wait and see. Certainly with the rib, there's the chance this is quick, that either he returns this week or it's just a couple weeks and then he's back. In the interim, it's Marcus Mariota time. And I've given you my stance on Marcus Mariota before, which is I don't think he's great at football, which is why it was very encouraging to see after he shook the rust off, man, I'm coming around on this Kingsbury guy. He may be more than just good looks. He adapted the game because it was a different playbook there once Mariota settled in. He adapted the playbook. He's got Mariota rolling, and I don't want to hear it was just against the Panthers because it's the NFL. You get eaten alive if you're not ready to go. And Marcus Mariota was ready to go, and then he was humming. Here's the touchdown to Zach Ertz.
They're going to run a play. Mariota is in the gun. Eckler to his right. Quick snap. Looking to his right. Now moving to his right. Rolling. Throws toward the end zone. Caught! Zach Ertz! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! How about Marcus Mariota?
Bram Weinstein on the Commanders Radio Network. You heard it right here on 910 The Fan. Let's keep it rolling. Let's get Ben Sinnott his first touchdown of the NFL season, thus of his rookie career.
Second and goal from the three, pistol look. Inside handoff, no. Mariota keeps, throws. Ben Sinnott, touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! And the first of the career for the rookie tight end!
There you go. Mariota's numbers were strong. I think he's vulnerable in a way that Jaden wasn't. You think about the defenses that really got to Jaden. Cleveland early in the game, Baltimore certainly, and Tampa. all with very, very good defensive coordinators, all with innovative ways to bring pressure, and all got that pressure through to the quarterback. Jaden beat it all three times with his legs, by sliding in and out of the pressure, by running, by keeping the defense honest. Can Mariota do that? I don't even know why I teed it up like that. No, Mariota can't do that. He's not in that league. He's not that good. If Jaden can't go Sunday, the Commanders will be underdogs against the Chicago Bears. Full stop. The Bears have a good defense. They're going to come after the quarterback. This is a golden opportunity for Mariota, who could have a Sam Darnold-style career renaissance if Kliff can draw something up for him. And I think the receivers get better by the week, too, which is an encouraging sign here. That said, you revise your season expectations if this turns out to be a longer-term thing to Jaden Daniels. And we don't know. We don't know what it's going to be. You'll hear more from Marcus Mariota as the show goes on today. You'll hear more from the Commanders game. We'll break it all down for you. We've got to take a spin around the NFL. It was a wild day in the NFL, capped off by Russell Wilson dueling against Aaron Rodgers, the matchup America has been clamoring for, and it did not disappoint. We had all sorts of drama. You'll, of course, hear from Aaron Rodgers, as we do on this show. This show also makes time for baseball. Fun fact, we do that, and we will. We have a World Series set. We'll tell you who's playing in the Fall Classic and how we got there over the weekend while you were watching football. Also, controversy at the WNBA championship game. Dun, dun, dun! I mean, if that's not a tease, I don't know what a tease is. Lines will be open to you, 833-804-0910. We'll take you up to noon. AWOD Radio takes over. He will do a Victory Monday as well. I told you we're coming back to the Commanders once we go around the NFL, because the defense will get their flowers before this 2 hours is over. I thought they were very, very good yesterday, and I don't want to hear it was just the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers had been scoring some points the last couple weeks. This defense buckled down, got the job done. There's a lot to like. B-Rob, 6 yards a carry, a ton to like here, and a ton we're holding our breath on with Jaden Daniels and those ribs. So we'll bring all that to you. Of course, college football. UVA held a lead at Clemson. Stopped the count, as I believe the kids say. They didn't stop the count. Clemson won, but there were things to like there. JMU laid an egg in Atlanta, still has never won all-time at Georgia Southern in 6 tries. We'll tell you what it all means. We'll get this party started, and we'll keep it rolling. You're listening to the Monday edition of MP on the Mic. This is 910 The Fan. Now we'll move on. Victory Monday for the Washington Commanders. MP on the Mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We're always worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Forgot to mention JMU in that college football segment there. Easy omission there, as that game was best forgotten. They go down to Georgia Southern, coming off the big Thursday night win, but it just, they couldn't put it together. Georgia Southern 28-14 in that one. It's just one step forward, one step back. I like where the Dukes are, but they're not going to play for the Sun Belt title at this rate. Time to get to 6, get them to a bowl, ideally the Pop-Tarts Bowl, because that's where I want to be. It's about me now. It's about them if they've got a chance at the Sun Belt title, the college football playoff. We cheer them on. We hope they achieve their goals. It's about me otherwise and my desire to be at the Pop-Tarts Bowl. That's all. Need the Dukes at the Pop-Tarts Bowl. So we'll make sure Hazel's producing on site at the Pop-Tarts Bowl as well. I mean, wouldn't want to deprive you of that experience.
I mean, we'll need to be on site.
We'll need to be on site. We'll get an interview with the Pop-Tart, I guess, the edible mascot.
If there is no Pop-Tart walking around, I'm going to be severely disappointed.
There is.
Okay.
The winning team gets to eat the mascot. Yes.
Oh.
Yes. That's the bit at the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, they're
we
on
will be going.
They get to eat the giant Pop-Tart.
Let's go, JMU.
Let's go, Dukes. Let's go, Dukes. Finish this thing up. Get where you belong. Get where we all know you need to get to. Commanders yesterday, 40-7. Marcus Mariota. Look, you don't want to go too far down the Marcus Mariota rabbit hole, because we could learn at 3:30 today Jaden's fine. That's why we're in the limbo. We're between the injury and the injury update. And it feels like this is one that really could go either way. Like, sometimes you watch guys like, ah, yeah, he's done for the season. And sometimes you're like, oh, he's just not playing because they're playing the Carolina Panthers and he doesn't need to be out there. Even if Jaden was perfectly healthy at halftime and cleared all the tests, there was no reason to bring him back into that game because they were destroying the Carolina Panthers. You just don't risk it. This feels between the two. Mike Florio last night on Football Night in America, the concern level in the building is a 3 or a 4. That's like the vaguest possible number. I'm assuming it's on a scale of 1 to 10. That's both he's not out for the season, but also not like he's going to play against the Bears. It feels like there's a lot we don't know. There's a lot we need to find out before we go too far down the rabbit hole. One thing I've said consistently, and I stand by, is I don't trust Marcus Mariota at all. Now, he had a very nice day yesterday once he settled down, and it's a little bit of like a choose who I'm going to recant on here, because as you know, I said not the kind things about Cliff Kingsbury before the season when he was hired. I've got to compliment one of the two. One of the two figured out how to put a 40 spot on the Carolina Panthers, despite my previous thoughts on them. We've got to update the MP priors here, because one of them's doing the thing, and I think it's Kingsbury, by the way. He's been fantastic this year. It's fun to watch. He makes watching film fun again. It's not a grind when you watch this guy. We'll do the game rewind tomorrow. I'm excited to dive into all the stuff he was doing with this offense, with this running game, getting them going. But here's Marcus Mariota after the game, taking questions on, I love this, is our guy JP Finley from the Fan DC, our sister station, I think this question hits the tone of the day.
How good did it feel to just shred a defense?
it was fun to play, for, you know, and that's one of those things. You grow up playing the game because it's fun. And it's kind of been like this for me. So just to go out there and play and to have fun was just refreshing for me. And like I said, we have an unbelievable group of guys that just make it fun. And I think that's really, for me, kind of the biggest difference.
I was just about to ask you, you just said that this was different. If you can take the winning part out of it, what exactly is different about this group?
Man, it comes down to guys just enjoy being around each other. Guys hang out in the locker room. Guys are enjoying going to work. It's a tough sport we play. There's a lot of pressures day in and day out. But I think we have such a good core group of guys that understand that. And when you step in the building, man, it's enjoyable. It's fun. And when you have that type of atmosphere, everyone is just kind of going in the same direction. It's really cool to be a part of.
Marcus, thinking about that, you're 5-2 on top of the division. Like, what's possible for this team?
Tomorrow. And I think that's the beauty of it. Coach Quinn talks about it all the time. We're just trying to get better every single day. And that's all we can control. If we just focus on that and we just keep stacking these days, when we pick our heads up in January, I think we'll like where we're at.
Yeah, I think they'll like where they're at as well if they keep playing like this. 40-7 over the Carolina Panthers. Third time this season, the Commanders have defeated an opponent by more than 3 touchdowns. Staggering stat. Fun to be a part of. Fun to watch this happen. Fun to dismantle the Carolina Panthers. Even once you know it's coming, even once you see it coming. And I would imagine a ton of fun for Marcus Mariota to be out there balling, to feel like he could do no wrong. His accuracy was off early, kind of the Russell Wilson style day, whereas early on, you're like, yeah, I don't know if this guy can get it done. But then settles in, throwing darts, and keeps the offense moving to the 40 spot. Panthers got the touchdown late. I thought we were headed for shutout range there for a minute. Panthers put one on the board late with the Hubbard run in the fourth quarter, but this was all Commanders. Mariota, 18-23, 205 yards, 2 touchdowns. He was dealing, and it's a good line. And they leaned on that running game, obviously. Brian Robinson, 6 yards a carry. Jeremy McNichols, 6 yards a carry. Mariota ran with it 11 times. Now, I do think a lot of... I don't know if that was because he's run the Jaden playbook. I got the sense he was most comfortable when they let him stay in the pocket, when they let him throw it around. 11 runs for Marcus Mariota, though, certainly can't be ignored in terms of what they'll be able to do. I don't think Mariota's as nimble as Jaden Daniels is. I don't think he's as able to elude pressure, and he's going to see a lot of it against Chicago this week if he ends up playing. But right now, we all hold our breath. Wait for the update. Marcus Mariota, he seems to have acclimated himself. I got the sense watching training camp practices that Jaden's kind of besties with Sam Hartman. They seem to have a nice rapport in the room. That Marcus is more, this is an opportunity, this is a place I am, I'm doing the thing, I'm hitting the buttons. Those are important buttons to be hitting right now, though, because this is a 5-2 football team. It doesn't just have playoff ambitions. I think they got playoff expectations now, and I think those are deserved. After what we saw from the defense, and we've now seen the defense the last 4 weeks, right, held the Cardinals to 14, the Browns to 13, the Panthers to 7. The Ravens game, of course, the Ravens put up 30 on him. But we're seeing that inching forward from the defense. Couple takeaways. The takeaway last week against the Ravens, they're starting to come. That's an important part of this, too, is making sure the defense gets the offense some solid field position. We got two segments left with you. We'll send you off to AWOD Radio. Victory Monday rolls on. Grant and Danny will be on the air. 3:30 is the time to bookmark. Dan Quinn gives the Jaden Daniels update. Most important ribs in all of Washington, D.C. You know where to be all day long for the latest news and updates on the Washington Commanders and Jaden Daniels. This is 910 The Fan.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Monday for the Washington Commanders, 40 points. Did you ever think you'd see the day? Let's read them off here. Number of points the Commanders have scored this season in order. 20, 21, 38, 42, 34, 23, and 40. Yeah, they are the best team in football at scoring lots of points, and it has been fun to watch. Cliff Kingsbury's dialed up some great stuff. B-Rob's running his butt off. And, of course, the quarterback position. Jaden's been great, accepting that we're all hanging out on pins and needles here. It's a mostly victory Monday. We're still going to celebrate the 40 because the 40's still a big accomplishment. What the defense did is a huge accomplishment, but we're waiting on an update. 3:30 today, Dan Quinn press conference. We'll talk about Jaden Daniels, his ribs, headed into a pretty big stretch here. Sunday afternoon, Tony Romo, Jim Nantz in town for that game against the Bears. The Giants in New York, never an easy task to slay that beast. And then Steelers, Eagles, Cowboys. So a fun stretch coming up for the Commanders. Hopefully number 5 will be a part of that. Two games tonight, doubleheader Monday Night Football. Ravens and the Buccaneers is the opening act at 8:15. That will be a fun one. Chargers and Cardinals in the nightcap. Justin Herbert, if he plays, and Kyler Murray, who will play, as those two teams face off against each other. Big day in the NFL yesterday. Let's start with the only undefeated team remaining in football, the Kansas City Chiefs. Despite not having a functioning offense, they seem to be doing just fine.
They're going for it. Not going to rotate the field goal unit out. I like this.
Fourth down, less than a yard for a touchdown. Mahomes takes the snap and wants to throw it. He'll step up into the pocket, flag on the play. Mahomes is into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
I want to know what he knocked over in the booth. You can hear it. He very clearly knocks over something in the booth.
Very large.
It wasn't a small something either. Yeah, there was a big whoomp there.
Yeah.
A little excitement. Patrick Mahomes rushing touchdown, the sole highlight of his day. The Chiefs are 6-0. They don't have a good offense right now. They only have a good defense. And that's the scary part, right? That they're 6-0 and the offense still isn't rolling. They got time to do that. Saw a little more Travis Kelce yesterday for the 49ers. That's the fantasy update for you, a little more Travis Kelce.
There is
no Hazel Stubb fantasy update in this program. The focus is purely on MP's team.
Whoa!
No. That makes it sound like I won. I didn't win yet.
Preemptively celebrating.
I'm winning. I'm 86% projected to win. I've blown bigger leads before. Easy there.
Running the numbers.
We're crunching the numbers. Yeah, there's a lot going on here. Now, did my opponent play somebody who had a bye week? Yes, that happened.
Perfect.
I'm 0-6. I'm here fighting and scrapping and clawing for that inch every single week.
Yeah, we don't need to get into the details of how you're winning.
You only play the teams on the schedule. I'm 0-6 and I haven't thrown the towel in. It's a disgrace to the league if there are people who aren't giving their all because they perceive it doesn't matter. It matters. It always matters.
Are you feeling disrespected right now?
No, I feel like I'm 86%. I just don't want to jinx it. The last thing I want is to be in here tomorrow having to explain the loss.
Yeah.
I just don't want that. We've come so far. Last week.
Do you have anybody left?
I'm 0-6. I got a player left too.
Okay.
I got Dicker the kicker, the Rams kicker. He's Cameron Dicker. That's the ad campaign.
When he joined the football team, they were like, "Well, you're the kicker,
and your name's Dicker,
and so can't try anything else."
This one takes care of itself. No, because last week I was 0-5, and excitement was high. I scored the second most points in the entire league last week and lost. So this is an important one because it's the next one, as they say. The 49ers now 3-4. Brock Purdy questions? Yeah, there's Brock Purdy questions. Somebody's going to give him $60 million this offseason. And if the 49ers are smart, it's not going to be them. I said that this offseason. I will double down on that. It would not be a good idea for them to do that. I mentioned the Chiefs are the last undefeated team standing in the National Football League. That's because the Vikings took on the buzzsaw that is the Detroit Lions.
Jake Bates with a 44-yard attempt, hash mark right side to give the Lions the lead. He's ready. There's the snap. There's the spot. Kick away. It is up, and it is good! Jake Bates sends it through! With 15 seconds to go, the Lions have taken the lead. It is Detroit 31 and the Vikings 29.
I was skeptical of Dan Campbell choosing to bleed the Vikings 3 timeouts rather than trying to move the ball forward. Because y'all know my stance on this. We all assume kickers can make anything now, and they mostly do. I'd still rather be closer than further away. Proved to be correct, though. Vikings got the ball. Very little time left. No timeouts left. And that was that. The Detroit Lions, your hottest team in football, certainly looking very good these days. 31-29 over the Vikings, 4 in a row, 5-1 overall, and a game against the Tennessee Titans next week for them to continue beating up on people before a big one against the Green Bay Packers. So an exciting Sunday around the NFL started with a complete dud of a game in London. That was the Patriots-Jaguars game. The headline I saw out of New England this morning, if we can't beat the Jaguars, when will we ever win? That's a fair question. It's a very fair question. The Packers won at the end yesterday as well. But I really, let's skip ahead because I want to talk about Sunday Night Football. I don't want to cheat ourselves on Sunday Night Football because our friend Aaron Rodgers was involved. And they were feeling each other out early. We had Aaron Rodgers looking rusty. We had Russell Wilson looking rusty. Both defenses looked good. And then you get to the second half, and Rodgers, remember the Peyton Manning Saturday Night Live where just pelting the little kids with the footballs? It's a classic. And he's in yelling at the kids. Rodgers basically pelts Garrett Wilson with the football, bounces off of him. The Steelers intercept it, and we're going the other way. And then Russ starts cooking. Now, as you know, an NFL season is not a fast song. It's a bolero. So that's important to know here. The Jets are 2-5. They've pushed all their chips to the middle of the table and have 2 entire wins to show for it. and an offense that's really not looking good. Aaron Rodgers, what do you have to say to that?
We got to somehow keep the belief in the locker room and start a run. You can't win 10 in a row unless you win the first one.
You can't win 10 in a row unless you win the first one. Words of wisdom from Aaron Rodgers.
He's got time.
Here's the bad news for Aaron Rodgers. The season is a bolero, not a fast song. He's going to have to deal with this for a long time to come. I just love that the Jets owner, bad ownership makes bad teams. The Jets owner is like, hey, remember that time Aaron Rodgers won the Super Bowl? What if we brought everybody back from that team? And everybody's like, yeah, that's a good idea. I'm sure they haven't aged a bit. And then they turned out to not be as good. And it's like, oh, shoot, this isn't as good as we thought it would be. What if we overpaid that guy who's holding out, even though we're 2-5 now, so that we can also blow through next year's salary cap while struggling this year? It's fun to pick on the New York Jets. Russell Wilson, can't say crap to Russell Wilson today. Let's hear from the man himself.
Being booed, then Justin Fields' name being chanted, how do you stay steady-handed to go then put up 37 points? How do you work through that?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, I think, you know, first of all, you know, I really believe in being neutral, you know, not being too high, not being too low. You know, my old mental coach who passed away a couple of years ago used to always say, you know, stay the course.
It's Russell Wilson, 264 yards, 2 touchdowns. Y'all know I like Mike Tomlin. I like Mike Tomlin a lot. We'll dive into this as the show goes on and as the week goes on. He said, I don't know if Russ is going to be good or going to be bad, but I need to find out, and I need to find out right now. That's correct. I don't know that we know yet, but you know that you need to keep going down this road because Justin Fields is good. You're trying to win a Super Bowl with this defense, and if he can give you a little of the magic, you need to figure out a way to get that going. He's got the Giants next week, then off the bye week, Russell Wilson coming to D.C. to face the Commanders, part of a fun stretch for them. It is a victory Monday for the Commanders. Man, they were beaten up on the other team. Carolina Panthers are really not very good. Doesn't matter. We take the victory Mondays where we can get them. Jaden Daniels rib update coming at 3:30 today. If it arrives sooner, we will, of course, pass it on to you. Got to step aside. We're going to make time for baseball next. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. Ten The Fan 105.1 FM. We're worldwide on the free Odyssey app. That's where you go if you want to listen to us. And AWOD Radio, he takes over at noon today, live from Capitol Ale House, home of Richmond's OG Burger Night. We'll crosstalk here. And the coach, I was on with the Junkies. Now I gotta say this, brand awareness is better than ever. The Junkies are very aware of AWOD for obvious reasons. He worked there.
Yeah.
And the Junkies are aware of me. I've been around for a while. I'm a known quantity. But I think they're aware of the program increasingly, because I went on the Junkies this morning, 8:20, grab it on the Odyssey app with the rewind button. We were talking Commanders, of course. And they say, you know, here's Michael. He's MP down in Richmond, 10 to noon. And you do crosstalk every day with AWOD.
Oh.
That's awareness right there. We're breaking through.
I got to say, I think it's the videos.
Brand aware. I think it might be the videos, too. AWOD's been putting videos on our socials of us talking Commanders each week. And I think people enjoy, you know, us talking Commanders. And it's gaining traction. A little crosstalk.
Very good.
Crosstalk, number one segment in America. Fastest growing segment in America.
AWOD and MP.
AWOD and MP. Crosstalk is a hit. It was good to be with the Junkies. My thing was, I just want to make sure the Commanders defense gets the credit they deserve here. Because, yes, that was a pitifully bad football team yesterday. And when we talk about the expanded season, it's just one more game. But for those teams, whew, I've been in those locker rooms. I've been in a lot of them in Ashburn, where you go into November and you just know, we're done here. We're not going anywhere. And It's not like baseball. I've also been in bad baseball clubhouses, in September and into October. And in a bad baseball clubhouse, I'm thinking of the Nats, and you know what years I'm thinking about if you're a Nats fan. There's no, like, I can't wait to get out of here. Like, you want it to be over, but you're playing baseball every day. You're still working on your own game. You're working on your numbers. Football, though, is violent. And to get yourself motivated for something that you know you don't have a chance to win every week is brutal. And that's the Carolina Panthers situation now, because it's all been laid out there. 40-7. The 40's not an indictment. It kind of is, because it was Marcus Mariota. The 7's the indictment, because the Commanders' defense is improving, right? And that's what I was on the junkies to do, give them their flowers. Got the interception. Forbes got an interception. Line's playing well despite the injuries. That's not a top 10 defense, and it wasn't yesterday either. And the fact that the Carolina managed 7 against them, it's a brutal march on home from there. There are not a lot of games they're going to win. There are not a lot of games they're going to be competitive in. For the Commanders, it's the opposite, 5-2. Now, it feels silly to offer any kind of speculation about the season, where it'll go, where it could go while we're in Jaden Daniels limbo here. Because a lot rides on number 5's ribs right now. If you tell me Jaden misses a week, he's back, or Jaden's going to play this week and it's a bruise and he can play through it, I expect this team to make the playoffs. They're 5-2. They look good. They're well coached. They're built to withstand a lot of the injuries they've had to withstand. If you tell me Jaden's out for a month, I'm rethinking and I'm revising. It's a tough stretch coming up, and I don't have a lot of faith in Marcus Mariota. That's all. It's nothing personal against the guy. The personal aspect would be, I would remind you that he quit on the Atlanta Falcons last year, which certainly, I'm sure there are a million things going on, but it's not a good look when you just up and quit on a team in the middle of a season. No matter how it happened or who is at fault, it's a bad look. And I feel less confident because I think Jaden's been making a lot of this happen. I do think Brian Robinson's a big part of the success. Obviously, he's missed a game with injury. You get beat up over the course of a year. They can survive it at running back a little bit better than they can survive it at quarterback, because I think Austin Eckler's been very good, and Jeremy McNichols is gaining ground rapidly, has been a great find. And I want to, we'll focus on the short term of it all, because the short term matters, and it'd be so fun to be in the playoffs this year. Like, that'd be cool. Are they a Super Bowl team? No. The Lions are clearly better. Even in the NFC, right? You can point to a team and say they're clearly better. The Philly game's fascinating in a few weeks. Philly's rolling again. They're going to keep rolling. But they're one, you just get the feeling, they're one disruption away from going right back off the tracks into chaos again. They're the most talented team right now in the NFC East. Doesn't mean they'll win it. But I think you consider them the favorites, the Commanders second and the Cowboys third. The Giants also play in the NFC East. I give them a 0% chance of winning the NFC East this year. We can go ahead and stick a fork in that one. It's done. But it's for the Commanders, it'd be fun to watch them in the playoffs this year. I'd enjoy that immensely. Long term, though, they're in a great spot. And don't lose sight of that. Even with the rib injury, even with everything else, don't lose sight of that. Because they have a ton of money to spend. They're going to be a primo destination for free agents this offseason. And the kid will heal. This isn't RG3. This is not that kind of injury. He'll be all right. He'll be back next year. And they got a 2-year window here where they can really make some noise in the National Football League. And that's all worth being excited about. We'll talk more about that in hour number 2. We'll continue our trip around the NFL, that bolero that is a college or an NFL season. We'll also talk college football, a lot going on over the weekend, two of the most anticipated games of the season, and they delivered. All that in hour number 2. AWOD Radio takes over at noon. You're listening to 910 The Fan. Now 105.1 FM. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Victory Monday for the Washington Commanders. Little news. Bashaul Tuten, you may remember him from that time. He got 266 yards against Boston College on Thursday. No big deal. He is the Reese's Senior Bowl co-offensive player of the week in the United States of America. So I believe we have a Pepsi Rookie of the Week and a Reese's Senior Bowl co-offensive player of the week, all in our little area. Who would have thought? It's an honor just to be nominated, but it's a bigger honor to win. I think Jaden Daniels' Rookie of the Week stretch finally ends this week, unfortunately. The five in a row has come to an abrupt halt. We will let you know when we hear any news about the most important rib in Washington. I don't want him to stop running. The running makes him good. I don't think that play was particularly risky. He was wide open. He got wide open. It's tough, though, because anytime it finally happens, you reevaluate the whole program, and we'll see how he comes out of this differently. And I think that's the main takeaway is, what do you do next if you're Cliff Kingsbury? You've seen this. It's a long season. Is it a one-off? Do you keep doing what you're doing? It's not just a long season, but you want him to have a long career. There's a lot of big questions. One of them in my mind, certainly, who are you going to get as your backup quarterback this offseason? Now that you know that's a position you need to pay a premium on, and the answer is not Marcus Mariota, although he seems to be having some fun out there. As you also know, this show makes time for baseball, and that time happens to be right now.
Over the shoulder, end zone, touchdown!
We interrupt this program to get baseball at its best.
First pitch pops it up right side of the infield, back into shallow right field. Makes the catch. One pitch, one out to start the ninth.
Baseball stuff!
Yeah, the Mets just wouldn't go away. They kept coming back and coming back all the way into the NLCS. Their run finally came to an end at the hands of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
McNeil goes for second. Alvarez swings. A bouncer to second. Taylor has it in the glove. It's over! It's over! The Dodgers win the pennant!
The Dodgers win the pennant. I feel like I've heard that somewhere before, but with a different team. Dodgers-Yankees is your World Series. Here's what happened. I want to go back to the Cleveland Guardians, though, because they looked like they were going to get swept, and then they didn't get swept, and it was very dramatic. And I think it's worth revisiting, mainly because the player involved here is John Kinsey Noel. His last name's Noel, and he's a large man, so his nickname is Big Christmas, obviously. Here's the Friday home run from John Kinsey Noel that kept the Guardians alive in the series.
Oh my goodness! Big Christmas has tied it! The ultimate present under the tree! Oh my goodness! John Kinsey Noel! The biggest swing of his life!
So that's pretty good. It's also pretty good in Spanish, so let's fire that up in Espanol.
Plateau, Batasa! Feliz Navidad! Feliz Navidad! John Kinsey Noel! Acaba de empatar el encuentro en la Navidad en octubre! ¡Qué bárbaro! ¡Qué monstruo!
Se puso la Navidad y no ha nevado todavía!
So we have two incredibly fun teams in the Final Four, the Cleveland Guardians and the New York Mets, and we have two ruthlessly efficient teams, the New York Yankees and the Los Angeles Dodgers, and it will not be a fun World Series. It will be a ruthlessly efficient World Series. That's bad for my amusement, good for baseball. Shohei Ohtani in the World Series. This guy's going to the World Series as well. His name's Juan Soto. He's good at baseball.
And the 1-2 swung on, a high fly to center. Back goes Thomas on the track. He's at the wall, and she's gone! run, a three-run home run. The Yankee bench comes on the field. Wow, what a Soto photo. A long, high, high fly to deep right center and out.
There's only one explanation. He's trolling me now. He's specifically doing this so that I will cringe while we play this on 910 The Fan in Richmond, Virginia.
It feels personal.
That's the only possible explanation for this. Fine, let him do his thing. That one.
It'll be a 1-2. Swung on, a high fly to right. Soto is there. Juan Soto makes the catch. Ball game over. American League Championship Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win. The Yankees are going nuts on the field. I mean, they're everywhere. It's a group hug. It's like the end of the Mary Tyler Moore Show. It's a group hug, and they jump up and down.
What are we doing here? What in the world are we doing here? So we have two teams, the New York Yankees with John Sterling, who is losing his mind with every passing game. Also, I love how he put no enthusiasm on that Soto call whatsoever. Bottom of the 10th, home run, giant moment. He's way too worried about getting the pun out there. No interest in showing enthusiasm in a great moment in baseball history there. Then you've got the Dodgers, who had Vin Scully for many years, the gold standard of baseball call excellence. Yeah, I've got favorites here. That's all. I'm a little biased here. That's all. Good weekend for the city of New York, minus Aaron Rodgers. Of course, it's never a good weekend for Aaron Rodgers, minus the Giants, too. But on the basketball court, it was a good time to be in New York. WNBA title game. Let's get to it.
Carlton lobs it in. Taken away by Davis. Off to Stewart. 28 years in the making. The New York Liberty are WNBA champions. The original franchise has its very first title.
All right, so I watched the end of this. I was initially, as you know, very critical of this decision by the WNBA to stage the most important game of the entire season during Sunday Night Football. That's a bad decision. Now, I also feel like there are people in the WNBA that don't want the rest of us talking about the WNBA. So I think it may have been deliberate, too. Like, I think there may be a little bit of like, hey, you're scheduling this at a time when we can't watch it. Yeah, we know. Like, I think there may have been a little of that at play here, so I don't want to discount that possibility. I did, however, I made it over, tie game, 3 minutes left, I made it over to watch the ad. I learned a lot of things about the WNBA. One, they are just as bad at instant replay as the entire rest of the world. And two, they do a fun thing during their instant replays that the NBA does too, where the ref has to like go over to a Zoom and talk to us through the Zoom and let us know what's going on. It's fantastic. It adds a bit of theater to the randomness of the instant replay. So Minnesota's going to win the championship. New York kind of flops their way to a foul. But great news, you can challenge that because we have instant replay, the stupidest invention in modern sports. So we're good. So we take a couple minutes. We look at the replay. Everybody sees, yes, of course, it's not a foul. The ref kind of comes back to the Zoom, unmutes himself. He's like, yeah, it's pretty clearly a foul. The other thing we saw was that she travels right before the non-foul. So we have two fouls here. Minnesota should win the whole thing. But we're in New York, so it's a foul. We go to overtime. New York wins. Minnesota coach Cheryl Reese did have some thoughts on that, if you're wondering.
Coach. I know all the headlines will be Reeve cries foul. Bring it on, right? Bring it on. Because this shit was stolen from us. Bring it on.
Woo! All right. All right. That's spicy. Cheryl Reeve, coach of the Minnesota Lynx, says the WNBA title was stolen from them by bad officiating. Oh, couldn't be basketball with bad officiating?
What?
What were the odds here?
They have instant replay.
All right, got to hear from both sides. Sandy Brondello, you coach the New York Liberty. Congrats on your WNBA title. Your thoughts on Cheryl Reeve and her thoughts.
Cheryl came in earlier and said that she felt this championship had been stolen from them because of the officiating. I'm just
I believe the official comment there was, we'll let that comment speak for itself there.
She has nothing else to say.
Nothing else to say. It's a Victory Monday for the Washington Commanders. We'll dive back in to what's going on in D.C. Two major quarterback injury notes here. Aiden O'Connell for the Raiders going to injured reserve. He came in, and then, of course, the Deshaun Watson situation. He's done for the year. We'll take all that on. We'll dive into Jaden Daniels, the day that was in Landover. You're listening to 910 The Fan.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Fan 105.1 FM. Don't miss a minute of AWOD Radio. It's noon to 3 today. It will be good, but definitely don't leave after that either. Grant and Danny take over after that 3 to 6, and Grant and Danny will be on the air live when Dan Quinn gives the Jaden Daniels update at 3:30 this afternoon. Feels like the biggest news item in town at the moment as we wait on the status of those ribs headed into big game Sunday against the Chicago Bears. Right now, we'll slide down 64 to Capitol Ale House. That's the home of Richmond's OG Burger Night. That's where AWOD Radio is live from today. Adam, Victory Monday with a side of trepidation. How are we processing this one?
I'm not that worried, to be honest with you. I'm really not. I mean, I liked what I saw from the entire team, right? And so it's a team's game. I know a lot of people think it comes down to the quarterback, and you know, I will say majority of the time it does come down to who has the better quarterback, but it's a team's game. It's a team game, and we played great as a team. Special teams defense stepped up. Mariota stepped in, and after he missed his first four passes, was lights out after that. And so I honestly don't think it's that big of an injury. I mean, I've rewatched the play in which he took off up the middle like five or six times now, and his body kind of crunches into each other. But I just don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. Do you?
I've watched the clip so many times. We've talked many times over the weeks, about how Jaden Daniels needs to be protected more by Cliff Kingsbury. And I don't think this was that moment or that play. He was running free. He kind of stopped weirdly, got jumped on, but I didn't see anything inherently unsafe in the way it was. It was a very bizarre play to have it happen on.
Right, but what was unsafe was running it to him twice more on the same drive, right? I mean, that's the kind of conversation we had about having an adult in the room. Everybody watching the game saw Jaden was not okay. They ran him two more times. Now, he probably leaves the game anyway, but that's the kind of thing that frustrates me is like, hey, he's already banged up. Now you're having him run two more times here. I don't think it's that big of a deal, and I'm very confident, and I could be way off on this, that he would have come back in if it was a one-score game. But I think the coaching staff had a conversation with the injury staff there, and they said, look, this game's out of hand right here. Why would we risk anything?
There was zero reason, and in fact, I would have been actively unhappy if they had brought him back into the game. That is absolutely for sure true, that there was just no reason to bring him back in against the Panthers, and they were playing bad football. I do wonder if anything changes as a result of this, and you know, we view everything through the RG3 lens, and he was put out there in an unsafe position for too long, and that's going to color how we see this and how we feel about this. What do you want to change when he comes back?
I think it's really just comes down to the quarterback designed running plays where he does not have a lead blocker in front of him. Like, that's happened a few times now where he fakes it to the running back, and that's the RPO plays where it's his choice whether to hand it off or keep it, and we've seen him make the wrong choice where he hands it off and they lose yards, or he keeps it and he goes around the outside, but then he doesn't have a lead blocker for him. Like you were talking about, the play that he got hurt, he had Eckler as a lead blocker, and that's kind of the reason that he was able to, you know, get sprung for that many yards there. So I didn't hate that, but really it comes down to the quarterback design runs in which there's not a lead blocker and anything around the goal line. You know I'm against that.
Yeah, anytime you know you're going to take a big hit, that's something you need to reconsider for sure. I want to talk about the defense, though. I feel like I'm talking about the defense more than the average show this morning, but yet still feels like not enough. These guys were really good against an offense we thought was going to be capable of scoring some points.
Yeah, I mean, it feels great, right? I mean, this is the culture change that we talked about. Anybody, anywhere, anytime, you don't play down to the level of competition. You play your game. They scored 40 points. They held the Panthers to just 7. They got off the field over and over again. They got to the quarterback. They stopped the rushing attack as well. I mean, Chuba Hubbard, just 52 yards on the game was really impressive. But I pointed to third down efficiency, held the Panthers to 3 of 10, and red zone. And, you know, obviously it doesn't look as good this game, you know, either for us or for them. But really it came down to third downs. That's what stopped all their drives.
Man, these guys, it's so fun to have a team that it just feels like they can convert any situation anytime. And, you know, they 5 of 10 on third downs, kind of a down day for them, which is funny to think about, given how many previous teams we'd have said, oh, my gosh, 5 of 10 on third downs, we'd kill for that. And now a team where the expectations are, whatever the situation is, they're going to rise to it. Offensive line played very well as well. And Brian Robinson, man, 6 yards a carry. Can't get over how important he is to this entire offense. Jeremy McNichols is good. But we saw the difference last week in Baltimore between having B-Rob and not having B-Rob.
Yeah, and you know what? I do think that's exaggerated a little bit, because in the Baltimore game, they didn't really run the power offense type plays. And maybe that's just a coaching decision, right? Like when B-Rob's not in the lineup, they don't run the same style of attack. When Eckler's in, it's more find him the ball in space. When B-Rob is in, it's north and south. And I think the offensive line appreciates that. That's what they like to do. And B-Rob is just so good at hitting the hole with a ton of speed and being hard to bring down. I could see him averaging 4.5 to 5 yards a carry the entire season.
Yeah, I mean, if you do that, you're a playoff football team. And I think I agree with you. Nothing changes in terms of me seeing this as a playoff football team, especially at 5-2 moving forward. Anybody else in the NFL, any other games that caught your eye this weekend, Adam?
Oh, I mean, I enjoyed that late game. It's kind of funny, you know, it felt like the entire first half Steelers fans were all bitching and complaining, and then boom, they explode in the second half there and get a big victory. And yeah, I haven't checked. How many more times do we have to watch miserable Aaron Rodgers play on primetime? Because he got the most primetime games once again, and I just think the NFL schedule makers are stupid for that.
Yeah, after next week, he's on a 3-game primetime run where we're subjected to Aaron Rodgers for 3 consecutive weeks. That's what they made the flex game for. Somebody needs to come to their senses. He's done. He's done. You can trade for more of his friends. It's not going to matter. And then they pay Hassan Reddick, first player ever to be rewarded for an in-season holdout. What in the world is going on there in New York? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, 100%. It doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense. AWOD Radio coming up, 3 hours live and local. I know you got a ton of Commanders action. What else is on your mind today?
Absolutely. Every time the Commanders get the win, we do the who, what, why, and how the Commanders won. We'll go through AWOD's 10 takeaways from the victory. Overreaction Monday around the entire National Football League, and a little university drive with some local college football games to talk about. I mean, they just released like a college football playoff if it started today, and it's so juicy, Michael. There's so many teams that still have a shot.
The SEC alone, I mean, like, yeah, we had two games where I feel like both teams leave their thing and they're going to make the playoffs. Georgia and Texas and Alabama and Tennessee. And of course, somebody else is going to have something to say, whether it's LSU or Ole Miss. You're going to have 5 SEC teams easy. For Virginia Tech, I know they didn't play this week, and coming off the Thursday game, though, we're 2 wins away from a really, really big game against Clemson in Blacksburg on a Saturday night. It's good to get back to having Tech in big games. I think that, especially the way the Miami game ended, it would be nice to have another big game in Blacksburg this year. They got to get through Syracuse and Georgia Tech, obviously, first. Nobody's counting those as done deals, not with this team. But the chance to have another big game in Blacksburg, I think, would be very meaningful.
Yeah, you said they're two wins away from a meaningful game, right? If they win the next two games, absolutely that game against Clemson with everything on the line will be electric. But I'm not going to just move past these next two games here. I mean, very important to take this long break here and then defeat Georgia Tech and then go to Syracuse where they've had their troubles before. But you're right. If they win two more games, we're going to have a lot of fun talking about Hokies against Clemson.
No doubt. You'll hear about all of it on AWOD Radio coming up next until 3 p.m. Grant and Danny take over. Reminder, Dan Quinn speaks to the media today at 3:30 p.m., expected to deliver a Jaden Daniels update at that time. You'll hear the results of that right here on Grant and Danny driving you home. Who's talking tonight as UVA gets ready for a big one against North Carolina on Saturday? Their bowl hopes on the line. Come join us tomorrow, won't you, for another round of MP on the mic. It's 910 The Fan, not 105.1. As we expected here to start hour number two, Deshaun Watson, the Cleveland Browns, has in fact torn his Achilles. He is done for the season in Cleveland, which... he may have been done for the season even if he hadn't torn his Achilles. He'd been playing really, really poorly in recent weeks. That's going to go down as the worst trade in NFL history at this point. It's not particularly close. They can't cut him because they would owe $171 million against next year's salary cap, which is projected to be about $220 million. That's the whole thing. So the decision would be to have a football team or cut Deshaun Watson. Those are the options. You could just go sit in the stadium eight times a year on Sunday and be like, at least we don't have Deshaun Watson anymore. We don't have anybody else either. Yeah, but we don't have Deshaun Watson anymore. That's where things stand in Cleveland, where the worst contract in NFL history keeps on giving. They can wait. They can cut him post July 1st of next year and spread it across 2 years, where it'd be $80 million against the salary cap each year, which is still more than any other player in the league. They probably have to hang on to him for an entire another year. They can't start rebuilding for a whole another season. Meanwhile, the owners of the Cleveland Browns are buying suburban land to construct a new mega stadium project. It's always nice to see people rewarded for doing the wrong thing. $2 billion facility out there, courtesy of the taxpayer money of the good people of suburban Cleveland, Ohio. Cleveland, as they say, rocks. And I respect the Leonsises for doing this. There's the deal to refurbish Capital One Arena, which in downtown D.C., which came about because this Alexandria thing fell through in the spring. Y'all remember that, of course, with Governor Glenn Youngkin and Luis Lucas and that crew. They put out the numbers of what the D.C. taxpayers are going to be on the hook for yesterday afternoon. Was there anything going on yesterday afternoon in D.C.? Oh, yeah. Good on them. I'm not going to bring up the numbers today. I'm going to pocket them for a future day when we can spend the time on them that we deserve. Because as you might imagine, when they try to bury them in the middle of a Commanders game that they know the Commanders are going to win, the numbers aren't great for the taxpayers. Stunner there. Y'all are going to be on the hook for some stuff. Imagine that. We, of course, are still awaiting word on Jaden Daniels' ribs. You will get that when Dan Quinn speaks at 3:30 today. That will be during Grant and Danny time here on The Fan. AWOD Radio takes over at noon. A lot of college football over the weekend, and I think obviously the game everybody was looking forward to was Georgia-Texas. Georgia steamrolled them boys down in Austin. 30-15, Texas made it a comeback, made it a game, but Georgia had a statement to make, especially after that Alabama loss. What a year to go to all the 12-team playoff, because you got some good teams. We'll get to Tennessee in a minute, but the SEC is going to have five legit title contenders in this thing. The important thing, though, Kirby Smart, assistant coach under Nick Saban for a long time, picked up a few notes along the way. Georgia, the most successful program in college football over the last 3 years, and it's not particularly close, goes to Texas, a team that has chronically underachieved, and Kirby Smart took one thing away from the hype leading into this matchup.
Nobody gave us a chance. Your whole network doubted us. Nobody believed us. And then they tried to rob us with calls in this place. And these guys are so resilient. You know what I mean? We talked about intent. What was our intent when we walked on the field? Our intent was not to take pictures, not to do all the superstar stuff. Our intent,
hell yeah,
our intent was to eat.
Yeah, they ate, sure. Nobody believed in us. Nobody believed that the team that has won national titles and went undefeated into last year's SEC title game could possibly hold it. The refs were biased against us the whole time. They imported the WNBA championship game refs just for this moment. And still, we went up 30-0 on the Texas Longhorns, and we ate. Get over yourself, Kirby Smart, Georgia coach. That is straight out of the Nick Saban playbook. Nick Saban left. New Nick Saban's like, let's just next man up. What we say in football, next man up. We don't have Nick Saban anymore. Kirby Smart ready to play the role. Nobody believed in us, he said, of the team many consider to be the best team in all of college football.
They said they were playing with our food.
They said we were playing with our food. Nobody gave them a chance. I mentioned the other game was a fantastic game as well. Tennessee, Alabama. This one did live up to the hype in terms of actual action on the field. Nico Iamaleava, we knew this would be a test for the kid, especially coming off a rough game against Florida. And late in the game, he found his form. He did the thing.
Two third down conversions. Nico back to throw on this drive. Fires for the end zone. The pass going to be a diving catch. Did he get it? Touchdown, Tennessee. Chris Brazel stretches full out in the back right corner of the end zone. Caught it on his fingertips. A touchdown of 16 yards. What a throw by Nico, and what a catch by Chris Brazel. Caught it in the back right corner of the end zone, and Tennessee is back up in front.
Now, this is the time where we need to veer from this for a moment, because we need to talk about something in college football. The Associated Press Top 25 College Football Poll. Every week, a group of voters nationally get together, cast their votes, and share who they think the best team in college football is. It's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. They've done it for a long time. For many decades, it was used to determine who the national champion was. The journalists who cover college football at the end of the year actually got to pick the national champion, because these teams never played against each other. It's a little bit like Northsiders in Richmond. They never come to Southside. They can't cross the river. It was a little bit like that. You had the West Coast teams never played the East Coast teams. Like, maybe you'd have a Rose Bowl matchup that was good every once in a while. But on the whole, you just didn't know. You couldn't compare the Big Ten teams and the Big Eight teams and the Pac-12 teams. And so we let our most esteemed journalists do that. And that worked because the games weren't on television, so nobody could call them out on it. Unfortunately, we're still going with the system that relies on journalists who watch the games. There are no more journalists who watch all the games. So that's our first problem with the system. The second problem is the games are televised, and these teams do play each other. And so this whole thing's just a big mess. And you've got an AP poll that just reflects, if they win, you move them up. If they lose, you move them down. There's no independent thought being put into this thing at all. Now, thankfully, college football playoff this year, new college football playoff, they are directing the voters to stop looking at the AP top 25, lest it bias them when they come into the committee room and pick the 12 playoff teams. That's how far we've fallen here, from these people get together and pick a national champion to, we don't even want you to look at the AP top 25 because we worry it might impact the good work we're asking you to do here. Sad times for the AP top 25. Good times for Clemson and Miami, ACC schools, both in the top 10, because winning moves you up, losing moves you down in the top 10. Iowa State's in the top 10. Notre Dame's hanging out there. There's no independent thought put into the top 10, though. Alabama at 5-2 drops to 15th in the nation because they lost to Vandy. And move them up, move them down. No independent thought here as that goes. Now, Clemson was in business this weekend. They played UVA. I don't want to spend a ton of time on this, but they're our team. We need to acknowledge what happened there. UVA came out, took a 10-3 lead. Good for them, right? There are no moral victories. There are moral victories when you go to Clemson and play Clemson. You're not as good. Clemson, unfortunately, did take over the game after that.
takes it, pitches to Demoffa, right side, looking for the end zone, finds the end zone, touchdown.
That's the first, and then they poured it on, and next thing you know, it went from 10-3 to 31-10.
They go empty. Klubnik in shotgun. Takes a shotgun snap. Gives him Antonio Williams. He goes sweeping right side. Crosses the 20. Inside the 10. He heads to the end zone. Touchdown.
All right. UVA football. We knew they wouldn't win at Clemson. That's fine. Moving on. This is a big week for them. They host North Carolina. Nooner on Saturday. North Carolina's down. They're beatable. UVA's at 4. Remind you, the magic number is 6 for UVA. They can beat North Carolina. This is probably the last game on the schedule that you say they can win for sure. So they need to win this one to get to the 5. That leaves them with 4 left to play. All 4 very difficult games. At Pitt, at Notre Dame, home against SMU, and at Virginia Tech. But if you get to 5... you got a chance of getting to 6. If they don't get to 5 this weekend, I don't think getting to 6 is going to be in play for them because I just think the home stretch is a little too tough. I think winning 1 out of 4 would be achievement for them in the home stretch. So big one against North Carolina this week will, of course, get you ready for that as the week rolls on. Let's go back to Blacksburg, though, because Friday's show was a weird one. We spent a lot of time talking about Tony Bennett. We're still processing Tony Bennett. We're not done with Tony Bennett yet, but I want to make sure Bashel Tootin gets what's coming to him. He's your Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Senior Bowl co-offensive player of the week nationally. This is why.
He's in the backfield. Again, Tootin needs 5 yards to set the all-time school record. The line of scrimmage is the 45. Tootin takes the handoff, running up the middle, gets to the 50, on his feet at the 40, down to the Boston College 38-yard line, and there it is, the all-time record, rushing yards in a game, Bashel Tootin.
And his teammates know they'll get him out of the game now. He gets a big hug from his coaches. What a night for Tootin.
Yeah, big win for them on Thursday night. Almost coughed it up, then remembered they were really good at running the football and pounded it down BC's throats. Virginia Tech's got the nooner this week against Georgia Tech. The dreaded 6-day hold for their game against Syracuse next weekend, November 2nd. So you may remember a couple times a year, ESPN can decide that they will not announce the kickoff time until 6 days before the football game. So we will not have a Tech-Syracuse kickoff time for November 2nd until after Saturday's games. We'll get that late Saturday night. This weekend, the nooner, probably the only nooner of the year for the Hokies. I know the fans don't like the nooners at all. You're playing Georgia Tech, though. It's a snoozer. It's supposed to be a snoozer. I want to make it a snoozer. Make sure to get to that big one against Clemson, which has got primetime written all over it. If you handle their business, nobody's giving you a chance, right? Bring Kirby Smart in for the speech. Nobody's giving you a chance. Before we slide out of here, Colorado. Well, look, we love having fun with our guy Dion. They might actually be good.
Back. Shadur's out of the shotgun, bull right hash mark. Slot to the left, wing to the boundary side right. Snap, fakes the handoff, throws a fade, right side, end zone. Grab is made. Did he hold on? No, out of bounds.
Touchdown. Yeah.
Oh, it is a touchdown. Well, let me give you a delayed touchdown. Touchdown, Colorado. A 16-yard spectacular throw strike from Shadur Sanders to Will Shepard.
There you have it. Colorado. On the path to bowl eligibility, they've got 5 in, one more for them. They'll make a bowl. Yeah, that's something that ESPN might be interested in showing. They also, the beauty of being Colorado right now is they're getting the 10 p.m. TV slot all to themselves, so they're making all these teams come play late night in Colorado. That's what's going on this weekend. Cincinnati's coming there, 10:15 p.m. kickoff. As we've seen, these things matter. We're still picking up the we're still figuring out what it means that college football teams have to fly West Coast to East Coast. But it looks like it's hard to do. And Colorado's positioned to take advantage of that. They're going to get to 6. They may be mega relevant by the end of the season. So Dion's got him humming. Credit where credit is due. He's making it happen. He's got Travis Hunter. He's got Shedeur Sanders. He's got the crew.
But how much have they made off of their Instagram QRs?
The QRs are not allowed. This is still $0. But as soon as that's legal, they're bringing the QRs out. Don't you worry about that. We got to get back to Landover's of Victory Monday for the Washington Commanders. Jaden Daniels goes down in the first quarter. We'll dissect the whole thing for you when we get back. This is 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.